16 to go till 5 o'clock. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is here. Store's open.
Store's open. Oh, yeah. We're a stubborn folk.
I like that.
My manager's from Jackman.
Oh, this is nothing.
We're good.
Come on.
Her biggest problem is everybody else.
But frankly, can't we all say that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
No.
These other people.
No, this edition of Message in the Bottle brought to you by the fine folks at Ford Motor Works. I got to tell you. Four-wheel drive is a beautiful thing.
Loving that. This is first winter with the truck,
first
right?
First winter, yeah. Oh, I mean, between that and the ease of throwing the old Christmas tree in the old back. Oh, that was gorgeous. That was so satisfying.
Nice.
Really.
Very nice.
Like you felt like, you know, you felt good in front of your my family. Like, that's right, family. We don't have to bother tying this up there. I actually was just worried about it. Like, and I don't know why, you know, physically this is almost impossible without those hurricane force winds we had. But like, if it just like blowing up the back, yeah. Just like, it's the sort of thing that would happen to, you know, like Clark Griswold or, right. Or Eric Meehan.
Mary, it's raining trees.
I told you to tie it down.
I'm not that we're judging people's toughness. Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, you beat the hell out of Cutler.
Oh, well, he drives a Honda.
Oh.
But I figured he'd be in, A, because, yeah, he's nuts, and B, because four-wheel drive. But I don't know. I hope everything's okay, to be honest. I mean, I know Hammond Street Hill is actually quite ugly right now. Mm. It's no fun. So, in fact, we're making light, but do go slow out there.
Oh,
folks,
yes.
People.
No question.
It's not good.
So, am I correct? We're covering two countries.
Yeah, well,
this week?
I had divine inspiration this morning, so I decided to lump today and next week's Message in the Bottles together, so that next week we could talk about an entirely different topic that I hadn't planned, but I think is really fascinating and seasonally appropriate. So today we're going to be furthering our discussion of the Southern Hemisphere and talking about Australia and New Zealand, which are. And I'm guilty of this right now, too often lumped together in terms of what they do, and what they do is actually very, very different. And so I'll take a couple minutes to talk about both. Australia, which is not just for penal convicts anymore, started in the viticulture arena because, frankly, those convicts and other asylum seekers, a lot of Australia was peopled very much like the European wave of immigration over to America by people who really weren't digging how things were unfolding in their home country. Germans, British, Italians, just a wide variety of folks going there. They got their viticulture from the country we talked about last week, which is South Africa. They first brought their grapes from the Cape of Good Hope in the late 1700s. And then in 1822 first started exporting wine. So they kind of, you know, started doing very well, very quickly. But their early attempts at wines, and this kind of goes back to the fact that there was a lot of Germans and other, folks who were used to sweeter wines, they were making sweeter wines. They especially got known for, port style wines, and were very successful at shipping those all around, the world, starting, as I said, in the 1800s. Europeans liked them, but actually, funny enough, a lot of them refused to believe that they weren't really French or German or other wines like that. They like, it's not from Australia, it's a joke. And those wines basically remained sweet and fortified. That was kind of the Aussie style up until the 1970s. So kind of interesting. And other wine regions followed suit. You know, a lot of the great wine regions of Italy that make very, you know, dry, important reds these days. 100 years ago, those were sweet wines. Just kind of interesting how it works. If you keep in mind that sweet wines, because of the sugar, are usually a little more stable for transport, it starts to make sense because, of course, refrigeration and you know, cooling units weren't invented back then. So Australia, what's Australia's deal? It came on really, really strong, obviously, for some good reasons initially, and then for some animal wine problems, animal wine issues later. But initially, I mean, very, very good wineries, most famously probably Penfolds, were making really, really good red wines and some whites in the 80s, in the 90s. And then, of course, what started to happen is that Americans started to drink more wine, and they discovered mostly these Shiraz and Shiraz Cabernet blends from Australia, big, hearty, peppery, bold things. They weren't bad wines, but they certainly weren't shy. They're sort of in your face. And then what happened was Yellowtail. In a word, Yellowtail. It's hard. It's still hard for me to believe, because this is essentially the year I got into the wine business, and then I took a little break to do classical singing. But I was, I first had my first gig in 2001. Yellowtail wasn't around until 2001. It's hard to believe that in a short time they virtually took over the U.S. consumer wine market and led to a big bulk wine problem in Australia, to the point where Australia planted just tons and tons and tons of acres. They're like, yes, the Americans are going to be drinking Shiraz forever. And that didn't really happen. And people really started to get over Yellowtail. And Yellowtail still sells a lot, but not nearly in the numbers. And of course, Yellowtail had its imitators, and those don't sell as well. So honestly, the government started to pay people to rip up vines. Because there was just, they were taking all this arable land and just saying, well, we'll just make wine. I'm like, okay, but what about all the other agricultural products that we used to make here? And frankly, a lot of the land, much like we've talked about in other places, just because it's in Australia, you know, near the Barossa Valley or some of these other famous places, doesn't mean that it was good wine land. A lot of it was very fertile, which is, as we've talked about, only good for mass produced junk. It's not, it doesn't strain the vines or anything like that. So, but it's, yeah, so that's sort of the thing. What's nice though, is because there was so many, so much old vine planting and so much planting for so long, there's still a lot of really old vine, cool old vine vineyards that, people are working with, including the wine that we'll be drinking today, which is, from the Barossa Valley, which is near Adelaide, by the way. If anybody kind of knows what, it kind of looks like a kidney bean kind of turned on its side, Australia does. And on the bottom side, facing Antarctica, is Adelaide. And it's, Australia is very close to the equator, right? So the better wine regions are to the south of the country, which faces the south of the world, which gets a lot of cooling winds up from that part of the world, which is why Australia can grow any sorts of good wines at all. And then as we jump to New Zealand, I'll beg you to remember that New Zealand is much, much closer to the Arctic, to the Antarctica, which means it's a vastly different climate, much, much cooler in general, which is why you're not seeing Shiraz or things like that really coming out of New Zealand. You're seeing much more cool climate like Pinot Noir, really awesome Sauvignon Blancs as well. So we'll talk about that.
Cooler in general, because Australia, Olivia Newton-John,
right.
New Zealand.
Yeah, Flight, serious.
Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords, Lord of the Rings, exactly. Yeah. It's
cooler.
It's almost like nothing good ever came out of Australia. Sorry. No, that's not true. Paul Hogan, you're my man.
Right.
I still watch Crocodile Dundee with a certain amount of glee.
You call that a knife?
Not two, of course.
No.
Oh, but one. Did you know, this is non sequitur, there's a Christmas Story too. Did I bring that up last week? I'm just furious. I can't even believe this is a thing.
New, or is it something I missed in the last 30 years?
I don't know. I just saw something for Christmas Story 2, and I don't know. Carrie's going to the big board, because this just that shouldn't happen. That's
wow.
Like, that's like Slapshot 2. It's just it shouldn't have ever happened.
No,
it's a 2012 film.
2012.
Oh God.
What is it like?
Are they all grown up? Is it a sequel?
Is it like the Olsen twins doing something awful, or or is it actually like Peter Billingsley like schlepped back in? They keep dragging him back in.
I.
We're doing some research.
Teenager Ralphie wrecks his dream car before he even gets it off the lot.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, we're going to New Zealand. That sounds awful.
The leg lamp is still in it.
The leg lamp, of course. Yeah. It sounds like a lesser, you know, later year like, you know, Joni Loves Chachi or something.
Well, and because unlike Flick, the leg lamp didn't grow up and do porn.
Flick, right. All right, New Zealand in 2 minutes or less, and then we're going to talk about tastings that are coming up. So New Zealand, Flight of the Conchords, and wine. New Zealand, obviously most famous for its Sauvignon Blanc, which is weird. Why? Because there wasn't really any Sauvignon Blanc planted in New Zealand until the 1970s, which is just crazy. There was one planting of Sauvignon Blanc in all of New Zealand. And then all of a sudden they planted it, and it took off into an international phenomenon. Very bright and gooseberry-like, grapefruit, just a little sweet. So if you like, you know, your Sauvignon Blancs very fruit forward. Try Marlboro Sauvignon Blancs. They're great. Also, Pinot Noir coming from this area is absolutely phenomenal. New Zealand has suffered from being very, very far removed from anything. Even from Australia, which is its closest neighbor, it is still like three and a half hours by plane. It is far. So it's been kind of late onto the international scene, but boy, now there's a lot of people interested in it because, again, cool weather, you're seeing a lot of beautiful wines made there. That was New Zealand. Sorry, New Zealand. I'll hit you more later some other time, but we're running out of time. I do want to talk about two things going on at the shop, and then, yeah, let's drink the Shiraz.
This is very good.
Is it nice? Yeah. So this is Torbreck Woodcutter Shiraz. Very sexy, beautiful Shiraz. This is the sort of Shiraz that made Australia famous. Do come in and check that out, because it's a long ways from Yellowtail. So this Thursday, Women in Wine Shopping Edition, we have our friend Janine from Latitude Wines coming in and pouring some absolutely divine wines. Cabernet, an amazing Champagne, Pinot Noir, Chalon Chardonnay, some really cool stuff. We're also going to have a plethora of female-oriented shopping, LuLaRoe, Heavenly Goddess Spa, essential oils, all sorts of wonderful things. Men, if you haven't done your shopping, come on in, try some wines, get some stuff for your wives, your girlfriends, your daughters, and get some wine for yourself. Ladies, of course, come in, bring friends, check it out. My wife and my manager have worked really, really hard to put that together, so thank you. And then the 21st, we're going to be doing our annual Ugly Holiday Sweater Tasting. A reminder, not tasting ugly sweaters, but drinking really good wines, some of which we are picking out today, and they're divine. So both of those, these next coming Thursdays from 5 to 7 p.m., I would love to see all of you at both. And if you can't make it, stop in anyway. We're in every day, of course, now until the Xmas holiday, and we will be taking Christmas off, just in case anybody was curious about that. And so next week we're going to be talking about the Holy Land, man. And we're going to be talking about wines that they're making there and wines they have made there and what it's like to kind of deal with that. Carrie's telling me we have a little longer, so I'm going to talk about New Zealand some more.
Do it.
What are we going to talk about in New Zealand?
Kiwis.
We're just going to play a little music. We're just going to
dance to Billy Preston.
We're
going to
dance
bit.
To Billy Preston. I don't know. I don't want to talk about New Zealand now. We've moved on from New Zealand.
All right.
Let's just drink Shiraz.
It works for me too.
Thanks for
braving the conditions.
Oh yeah, man!
You and Ford Motor Company.
That's why they exist. Honestly, I feel bad for the fine folks at Volkswagen, but whatever.
He wasn't pointing. He was signaling.
Oh,
30
just
seconds.
A little bit longer. Okay, I was worried that there was something wrong with the giant bat behind me.
No, that's fine. He's fine.
Oh my goodness!
Very docile. Thank you, Eric.
No worries. Cheers,
Eric. Me and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, Bangor.